So I did make the phone call. I do want to say that. Starting to mess off in a weird place. And after having a chance to talk to the person and hear their thought process and hear the way I saw it, it was clear that there was some misunderstanding. But the misunderstanding was more of not yet knowing who I was and what I wanted to listen to and what I wanted my spirit to be filled with. People get used to church people talking a certain way to other church people, and that kind of conversation is normal and okay to them. To us, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all can't sit in certain places and not hear, well, you know, the devil's busy, and sometimes you're like, oh, God, here we go. You're mad excited. Right, you're ready to get, right, because that's not the spirit you sit under, and you don't want to hear nobody talking about the devil and what he's doing and what he's not doing. So right away, as soon as you hear that, you're like, oh, God, and let the noise, and then God, you know, you're just like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm just out of here, right? Right? So, you know, it's like when I'm talking to people, I got to understand they don't speak JCMI. They don't understand covenant. They know religion. They know church. So they talk church. And right away, my thing is, you're trying to offend me, or you are offending me, or you're just offensive to me. Just get away from me. And God had to let me know, but that's not the person's intention. Sometimes you got to help them understand your language and how to dialogue. And once I explained, it was like very, you know, there was a little resistance, but it was very much, I didn't see it that way. I'll be careful in the future. I said, not just for me, but for you too. It just, that's just a sucky kind of communication to have around, and you could do better. Take it or leave it. And so it worked out right. But the week was trying for me because when this family, this group of people who are all stepping out in things that are totally foreign to you or new to you or challenging to you and exciting at the same time. How many bear witness with what I'm talking about? It's exciting, but it's challenging. Sometimes it looks like you're making great strides. Sometimes it looks like you're tied at the ankle. Right? You have them days where just everything feels great, and then there's those days it looks like you just can't get a break. And notice I said looks like. I want to be very clear that I'm saying that. Looks like. And I preface it with looks like because this, in the big picture, in the scheme of what God has said, all the promises of God are yay and amen. They are what they are. It's us adjusting to the vision of God and the conversation of God. Like, I didn't want to hear this person's conversation because it put me in a bad space. Because they didn't know my language and understand how I spoke and how I perceived my relationship with God. And God has to say to me constantly, but see, you speak a language that I don't speak. You talk doubt and unbelief or fear or excitement or lack thereof. And I don't. I'm just God. So our language is not the same. So when you come with that, you carry that because it's yours. Am I losing people? It's not his language. God don't sit there when you say, I feel confused, and go, I know what you're saying. I can relate. I've been there. I know. You know, I have them days too. No, God, no. You follow what I'm saying? It's not a language he speaks. God speaks the language of yea and amen. Yes, and so be it. I know what I've said. I'm a covenant-keeping God for 1,000 generations. If you speak the way I speak and line up with my purpose, all the things that we have discussed shall come to pass, ready for you. No, you didn't catch it. I know you didn't totally catch it. Shall come to pass for you. You still didn't get it. I know you didn't. I know you didn't. I'm cat and mousing you right now. All the stuff that he's spoken shall come to pass for you. See, for God, it's already done. See, that's the thing we got to get that picture of that messes with us. When God speaks it, it's so already. So God's not waiting for it to happen. You are. In God's mind, when it happens, God's not like, hallelujah, I did it. You know, that's, you have that moment. God's like, yeah, but that's what I said. But I said that 20 years ago. I spoke that when you were yet, before you were in your mother's womb. I spoke that over you. Welcome to the party. See, that's a dynamic that we are entering into in this season and time in this house. I'm prophesying that over everybody in this house. That's the season that we're entering into, that to speak it, it is so. That if he said it, it is done. That it shall come to pass in my lifetime. And how long it takes is how long it takes for me to line up with what God already said. This is the place we're in. Not where God moves and the devil moves. Nobody don't care how the devil moves. He don't have no movement that lines up with our God. Why do we care about his movement? Why is he even a subject of conversation in church? They got cults you can go, you want to hear about what the devil's doing. You in church, we supposed to be saying, well, what's daddy doing? Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. So I have to come to the realization that daddy and I don't totally speak the same yet. I'm still trying to figure out stuff. And God is always saying, but I'm not. See, it's important to say to folks in church, because if you think about it, we're really of this belief that God is working it out. He's figuring it out. He's getting it to us. Hey, you know, we become of this. Come on, am I telling the truth? God is trying to figure us out so he can get the blessing to us. He don't know exactly where we are. He's trying to find the address. His GPS ain't quite working, and he's trying to figure. Come on now. We don't want to say that out loud, but there's this belief that God is figuring it out or working it out. But God had Jesus and the plan of salvation in place before man even sinned. See, that's something to think about. So when it comes to our little lives, nothing catches him off guard. Not even our deceptions and missteps. Not even our turning and flipping to the left and to the right. Nothing catches him unprepared. But nothing also changes his trajectory. God met me in that dark place. No, you finally looked up and saw God in that dark place. You understand? You saw him there. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, you are there with me. You finally looked up and saw him. But he was there. I got a text message from my brother. You know, it was one of those sayings about, you know, even in the darkest of times, you know, you eventually come to the light or something, one of those kind of things. And I was like, what about in the darkness of time? Maybe it's because you turned your back to the light. Maybe in your darkest of times, you've turned your back to the light. It's all about focus. I'm going to give you a real revelation. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. I remember I had a spirit of depression on me. And this was many, many years ago. And I was calling out to God with all my heart to be free. And just looked like it wouldn't leave me alone. And it's one day I just, you know, remember I told you the difference between confessing and then taking a stand, resisting and going forward and pressing forward. This day I decided I can't take this anymore. God, give me liberty or give me death. And I fell on my face before God in prayer, serious prayer this day, whatever that is. You know, and I say that way for a reason, because we call stuff serious prayer because we don't know when we're serious or when we're not. So we say this was serious prayer. So what was the other stuff, playing around? You were serious before, but this time you really meant business. There was something changed in you. Something clicked in you, because God has every prayer you've ever prayed. He said he holds it in vials. He knows your thoughts. He has every prayer, even the messed up ones. He still has them. I won't go down that road right this minute because I don't want to confuse nobody. Nonetheless, I got to this place that I was just determined to be free or be dead. Now, and I get to this place where I'm just determined to be free. This is a difference, you know, it's maturity. But this day I was in that place. And as I was praying, crying out to God, laying there on the bed on my back with both hands in the air, God took me off into this very, very clear visual vision. And when he does those kind of things to me, they imprint on me in a way that I never forget them emotionally in every other way. And I'm in a prison cell. And I can see the prison cell as clear as I'm standing in front of you right now. It was about as big as from this wall to that first row of chairs, around to a square and back. It was about that big. It wasn't that big, just that big. And I remember sitting here in the middle of this floor in my misery, and I could see, looked like a window so far up and so small that there was just enough light for me to kind of barely see the shadow of where I was, but not to be able to see. And I felt like that light, later I realized that light represented, there was still a glimmer of hope. And I'm sitting there on this floor, and I'm crying out in my misery to God, set me free. And I can see this wall of the cell. I can see this wall of the cell, gray, big concrete bricks. And I can see this wall of the cell and, of course, the little light. And I'm sitting on the floor, and I'm crying out. And in my crying out and feeling sorry for myself, I put my hands down on the floor, because I'm sitting on the floor, and it's septic waste. It's waste. It's manure. It's like what would come out of a septic tank. You can tell it was poop, whatever. It was whatever bio, nasty, disgusting thing you could think of. It was on the floor. So I picked my hands up, and then I felt worse now. Now I really feel bad, because now I stuck my hand in this disgusting stuff. And those of you know me, I'm a real... It has to be an absolute emergency for me to change my grandchildren's diapers. Absolutely nobody else is around that will possibly do it. That's the kind of thing, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm really feeling sorry for myself, and God's voice comes up behind me. And so now I really feel, oh, God, I got your attention. Now it's time for me to really... and let you know just how pathetic my life is and how this is just so unfair to me. Some of you are relating already because you know you've been there. And God said, turn around. And I said, I don't want to turn around. I just want things to change. You know, I'm going through this whole fit. And God's response again was, because God don't change. You can do all you want. God sticks to his point. You know what I'm talking about. He's so consistent with that. Sometimes it could be irritating. But once you learn to appreciate it, you love it. Turn around. And I'm just so tired, and I'm just so weary, and I'm just so lonely, and nobody understands. And he let me finish. And he said... And I got up slowly, still feeling pity for myself, in this prison cell, and I turned around. And when I turned around, it was a wide open space. There were no bars and no gate. It was just wall, 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 and then wide open door to walk right out. And when I turned around and I saw that it was open, instead of rejoicing, I felt worse because you just let me sit in here and... That's right? Come on, right? And from where I was sitting, once I turned around, it was a dark hall. Like, I know once I stepped outside of the cell, I can see light coming from down the hall. It wasn't in my face, but it was down the hall. So I knew once I stepped out of these walls, I would be stepping into and facing directly into light. And I sat there and debated with myself if I want to step out there or not. It is a real place. If I let this go, what I got, right? At least I know this miserable room. I can stay here and whine. And God didn't say another word to me. I just knew the light was beckoning me. Okay, you know now you're not in darkness. And you know now there are no bars. So you have to choose at this point to stay in this place. You can't complain to God, the devil, or nobody else at this point about your situation. You've seen there's no bars, and you see that down, way down that hall somewhere, there's light that you can go into. And now what is your choice? And I must have stood there for a few seconds, and then I stepped out of the cell, and I can feel the light, literally like almost the heat of it burning on me. And when I turned and faced it, it ran toward me and just enveloped me and knocked me over. And I jumped out the bed and just started running around the room screaming. And the neighbors probably thought I lost my mind. I don't know what happened. I don't know how long I was there. I'm thinking it was hours that I was in that place in the realm of the spirit. But I do know this. It hit me. The light was there behind me all the time. I was just facing the wrong way. I was so busy looking at my problems and my issues and the stones stacked on top of each other and what life has said, and you're black and you're uneducated and all the stuff that we allow life and situations to tell us. And freedom wasn't something I had to achieve. It was already mine. And that's when the revelation hit me. When I read that scripture again and for the first time I saw it, you ready? You will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And I realized that people have been saying set you free all these years. And there's a demonic lie because the scripture does not say set you free. It says make you free. And God showed me right there. I didn't set you free. You were already free. I made you aware of the freedom that already existed. All you had to do was turn around. I set you free 2,000 years ago on the cross. You accepted Jesus years before. You were not made free because you didn't turn around. You didn't face the direction of your victory. You kept looking at your situation. I don't know who this is exactly for today, but I want to tell you, if you're in bondage, it's because you're choosing it. You've accepted that this is the best you can have, or that bondage has become your friend and you like it. That was different from what I was planning to do today. If you got something, give God praise. Amen. Wisdom is a viable commodity, but it's not the deliverer. In all you're getting, get wisdom. With wisdom, get understanding. So people will say, well, wisdom's the principal thing. The Bible says that. Well, principal means first, but it's not the last. That means you need more stuff with it. And as I said before, and I'll submit again, it's obedience. Because you can have a lot of wisdom and not be submitted to that wisdom, and you're not obedient, and that wisdom will never work for you. So Solomon, being the wisest man in the Bible, was one of the most screwed up people in the Bible that you can read about because of his own ignorance, his own personal or emotional ignorance. We're all guilty of these things. The point I want to make, children of God, is not what you lack right now is not the mistakes you made or may even make going forward. Are you listening to me? Is if you commit yourself to the path that God has called you to, and you choose to not end this race until you see the manifestation of God in your life, no matter what it is or what tries to come against you emotionally or otherwise, I promise you, you will see it a lot sooner than you think. It's about the commitment to victory. It's about the turnaround. The word repent literally means to turn around. Not to apologize, not to feel sorry for yourself. It's to turn around. In that cell, my repentance was I needed to turn around. And I wouldn't repent because I decided that where I was where I was placed and where God put me and what I had to go through, and feeling sorry for myself became, listen close to what I'm saying, my reward. Because there are church folk that truly believe that their suffering is tantamount to their obedience to God. They believe that what they're going through is somehow showing God how sincere they are. And God's like, I know your sincerity before you open your mouth. I don't need to prove your sincerity. You need to prove to yourself where you really stand. It's a process for me all the time. When people say God wanted to see what Abraham would do, we went through the scripture not too long ago. No, God already knew what Abraham was going to do. Abraham didn't know what he was going to do until he was put in a situation to do it and to make the stand, and he did. Your victory is your victory. We're not fighting for that. Let me say that again. Your victory is your victory. We're not fighting for that. Let me make you say it. Say, my victory, is my victory. God spoke it. He sent provision for it. His son laid down his life for it. So it's mine. That's not the question. You got it? That's not the question. That is. The promise is a yea and amen. It's the way we've been conditioned to whatever to not believe we deserve or worthy of it. Let me say it again. We've been conditioned to religion, to whatever, to society, to whatever the situation may be, that we're not worthy of it. And because of that, we've now drawn limits on God that God has never drawn. Well, Pastor, you know, I hear what you're saying, but sometimes I feel bad. Is that okay? But that's all part of the plan of the enemy. I said this to you last week, or week before. Don't judge your faith based on where I stand. Don't look at what I'm doing and try to judge whether you believe in God enough or not because of me. I'm going to say something really, really strong right now, but I want you to catch this, okay? Church people miss the blessings, the healings, the prosperity of God over and over again, me included, because we always want to judge our love for God based on what we think he did for somebody else. We miss the hand of God because we, Father, like that? Really? Okay. She said, mm-hmm. Okay. The moment you start to look at how God is blessing me and judging yourself based on that, you remove God from the equation. You put somebody in between you and him. Your relationship with God is supposed to be personal and one-on-one, and you ask God for that, yet you're looking at other people's success or lack thereof and judging yourself by that. You put that person between you and God. They need to be removed. I'm not judging my success or failure any longer on what God did for somebody else. It's our relationship. And the closer I am to him, the more fulfillment of that I shall see. You understand what I'm saying? I know some of you are sitting right there right now and saying, ooh, that's a tough one, Pastor. Yeah, it is. But do you deny that it's true? I don't want to look at other people. God, what are we doing? What do we have? Where is my faith? I believe help my unbelief. I don't want to judge myself on somebody else's success or what I deem to be success, because I've had a chance to meet people that had what I deem to be successful. I met a lot of them. And after talking to them for a little while, I was like, I don't want their success, because the misery that goes with their success, I don't want anything to do with. We, in this house, and I'm not saying other people don't have it, but it's not my church and it's not my business. God gave me you to take care of, so that's what I'm focused on. There's a couple of things that I need to establish for you to help you really take what I'm saying home today, okay? Okay? One, for me to be as driven as I am, and those how many of you know me know that I'm very driven, I had to make a commitment that God spoke the word over me clearly. Are you listening? I don't want you to have a big church. I want a small church. And I don't want signs out front, and this is the way I want to use you. You may look at that and say, well, that's real cool. But it goes against my personality. You got it? My personality is like, no. We do big things. You know, And God's like, no, you could do that with business and you could do that with other things. But when it comes to this, this is the way I want this done. It's going to be more of a classroom than a church. Now, understand that for years my flesh fought against that. You got it? Then understand, Lord, do you want me to say this? Okay, I'm just going to leave names out. But then God began to bring people in my life that had that status and began to promise me that kind of greatness and introduced me to everybody in that circle, and I began to travel and to be a part of something that was much bigger than what God told me he wanted to do with me. I'm sitting up on the stage with the muckety mucks of the game. You follow what I'm saying? I'm being told, you're going to do great things. We're going to do a book, and that's where the book came from. And we're going to take you here, and we're going to put you up there, and we're going to, have me streaming live on networks and all kind of stuff. And the more I got up that ladder to becoming this mega whatever, the sicker my spirit got. Because it wasn't what God told me. I want to get emotional, but listen, hear me out. Please hear my heart right now. That was introduced to me because I was doing what God said, but my heart wasn't still there. I still wanted that. And it opened the door for that to be introduced to me. Oh, you need to hear what I'm saying to you today. And all of a sudden, I'm standing at the, I mean, it wasn't like a, let's walk you slowly up the, it was like, woof, boom, you're right there in the midst of this. All of a sudden, I'm going places, and people go, I'm at a convention, people pass by, that's him. And they're pointing at me, they're coming up, oh, can you pray? And people like, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing with this? Why is this happening? And God said, but this is what your heart still clung to, even though I gave you a specific instruction. So if you think you want this, here it is. But then I got to see some of the inner workings. And not everybody's bad. I'm not saying that. They're where they're supposed to be, some of them. But I start to see the politics, the money games. I start to see all the stuff that made my spirit nauseous. And one day I just said, this is not for me. What do you mean? This is not for me. And I took heat for that. because they, of course, are offended by me. What do you mean? What do you mean, you know, like they did Chris Tucker? What do you mean you don't want to be in the next Friday? How dare you say that? Right. No, you can't walk away now. You see how many doors we open for you? And they had all the scriptures and everything to back it up. See, you're not listening to me today. Oh, man, they had enough. They knew enough to quote. And there's no way that what you have should be contained. God needs to get it to the world. And I said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, God, that's what you want. Yeah. Now you start praying to God according to what you think God should be doing and what you know God wants for you because, you know, it all sounds right. Verses and chapters and all kind of stuff. And prophetic words that lined up perfectly. Angie, you was there. You saw it. And you saw all of a sudden everybody around the church is starting to talk the way they were talking. Cars and my box and houses and jewels and all the kind of stuff that didn't mean nothing to me all of a sudden meaning something. And God said, he reminded me of something we used to say in the street. Came back to me and hit me when I was in the street hustling, doing three-card Molly. I said, I know you don't believe Pastor did this kind of stuff, but I did. And we used to have a saying, you can't beat an honest man. You can only sucker somebody who's trying to get something for nothing. See, people don't want to believe that. Now, they sucker me and drink out my mind. No, they appeal to your nature to want to try to get something for nothing. That's how they beat you. They told you put down 10, you could get 40, and you believed that you could get $40 by putting down 10. And if that's how they was able to get you, that's how they got you. That's how you got suckered. So if you ever got suckered in the game, you've helped us, and thank you for your contribution. But we appeal to your greed. Right? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you got caught, but we appeal to your greed. And God showed me at that moment your greed. You not being settled on what I spoke over you was appealed to in this season. Now go home and be cleansed of that desire forever. And you'll never be tempted that way again. Thank you, sir. Now I pass it on to you. What are you being tempted by? What are you being lured by? What's making you feel bad about yourself or your achievements or your accomplishments? Somebody has held something over your head that you are now judging yourself by other than God's word, and that's why you feel like failures. You don't have to clap if you don't want to, but you know I'm telling the truth. Because now you're judging yourself by somebody else's standard or some standard somebody else set for you. So now you go home and you get the vision back clear from God the way he defined it to you. He told you what he wanted to do with your business. He told you what he wants to do with you. He told you what he wants to do with you. He told you what he wants to do with you. Who has bewitched you, Galatians? You understand what I'm saying? That now you're chasing after some other thing that is not what God said. Good, nice, quiet place. The simplest truths are the realest truths. Everything is not sin. Everything is not wrong. But we still have to judge ourselves to where our hearts are. The most interesting revelation for me. See, God uses everything in my life to show me and to show me him and I. Anybody other than me can bear witness with that? Every little, everyday little thing that you may do, think, or say will show you. See, this is where our relationship is. So I had two people that bear witness with me, so I don't feel strange. Thank you. I had a meeting yesterday, Friday, very important meeting. for our staffing business, and very life-changing meeting, very serious meeting. And so I always ask, you know, when I'm going to meet with somebody, what's his dress style? Is he a, you know, you got to ask that nowadays. Is he a casual Friday young type dude? Is he a certain tie corporate type guy? I want to make sure I'm where you are. Some of you have learned I can do it on both sides. I can dress down. I can dress up. Tell me what you want to do. So they said, well, he's a corporate kind of guy, but because it's Friday, it's probably going to be casual Friday. So just a blazer will do. So I haven't worn a blazer in a while, so I went to the closet and I put out this blazer that I have. Real nice designer. I think it's Jeffrey Bean. Had it cut, tapered, fits nice. And I put the blazer on, I looked in the mirror, and I said, it's got three buttons, and it doesn't vent in the back. So it's a couple of years ago, it's model. Still a very good-looking blazer. But because that one button and because it didn't vent in the back, I can't wear it because it's out of style. See, now, those of you who are not into fashion, you don't think about that kind of stuff. Now, see, women's fashion goes through some grand changes, and y'all got to go get a whole new wardrobe. For us, it's either vent or no vent, cuffs or no cuffs, split in the back or no split. You know, it's not that much variation, but that variation is real. I want to come to this meeting, and never mind they're going to look at this jacket and see it's a tailored jacket. It's two buttons now, not three. Even if they don't see whether the flap is not, that's a problem. So on my way to the meeting, I literally had to stop at a store and buy me a Tommy Hilfiger two-button vent in the black blazer that I may wear again one more or two more times in my life because I couldn't go to this meeting with this blazer. Can somebody say stupid? You didn't want to say it. Right? Because some of you are probably guilty of the same mess, right? We are so defined by everything around us that we lose our own definition. So here's what I want to ask you to get today, saints. Again, it wasn't what I planned to do, but it's what God planned to do. Do you need to go back and have God help you redefine yourself? Have you drifted off a little bit and kind of lost your focus in your way a little bit? And I can tell you how you can do a spot check right now if you're not sure. If you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling worry, if you're feeling like you're out of place, if you feel like God ain't moving, if any of those kind of uncomfortable feelings are sitting in your life, then yes, you've drifted. It's not a sin. You're not going to burn in hell. We just need to get refocused. God, where am I? In proximity to you, and where do I need to be today? I just want to be in your perfect will, even though I'm not yet in your perfect place. And am I speaking to somebody? I'm speaking to me if nobody else. If I can just continually remind myself that the race isn't given to the strong or the swift, but those who endure. And you can't endure unless you stay focused. It's necessary for us to be clear. Are you guys staying in touch with your partners? Your encouragement partners? Does everybody in this room have one? Let me see your hands. Everybody in this room has a? Okay, so if you don't have one that you're reaching out to, you're in disobedience here. Fire and brimstone. No, but I mean, we need to hold each other accountable. Now, let me tell you what's funny. You ready for this? How many people have reached out to me to be that to me? Guess. Three, one, what? Zero. Because they assume I don't need it. Or they can't help me, right. I'm so far spiritually ahead that I don't need to be encouraged. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, really. Right. Really, like I cease to be human because I can stand up here and encourage you. So I had to go before God and say, God, can you and I just do it? God said, but I'm going to put people around you, meeting that brother at your book signing was a blessing for that reason. The pastor, he just spoke like we spoke each other's language. I was like, we're going to talk, bro. We're going to talk. And I'm watching how God is beginning to show me. I'm going to say, I got people for you. So if there's somebody in here, good. If there's somebody outside of here, make sure they're steeped in the word and know the truth, and the truth makes them free. But you need to have somebody that keeps you accountable to the word that you believe and the truth that you're standing for. And if you don't have that, you're outside of the rules of the kingdom. We help each other. You're not independent. We're an interdependent body. We work together to help each other become what we're supposed to become. Are you listening to me? It's important that you do that. The reason people don't want to go to other people and ask them for the help, go back to what we talked about already. It's your pride. And you're out of the flow and the will of God. And that's why you're frustrated. And that's why you're feeling the things that you're feeling. It don't take much to swallow your pride and ask somebody for help. Nelly, you said it before when you got up here. And I listened to it again this morning. God said to her, don't give him those answers. Go to him and tell him what you're really feeling. Like, don't pray to the Lord, I'm good. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the other stuff. Oh, I'm just my life, but I don't want to hear that either. But I don't want you just to give me a simple answer. I want you to tell me, this is where I am, this is what I'm doing, this is where I feel stuck, and let's work through it. You don't get that a lot of places, so take advantage of it. That's why we're a small house. We can do that. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. I see what God's doing. I'm like saying, okay, God, I want to get back to the message. He's like, you're still in the message. Don't worry about it. All this is necessary for this foundation. How many of you feel like you're growing? You're learning. You feel stronger. My job is to, if you don't get focused back during the week, or you're not talking to each other, even if you are, then when you come here, it just gives you that next level of push. But how many of you feel like just since this year started, you've seen movement in your life, in the spirit and otherwise? You see? And that's, for me right there, that's it. My job, I feel good about my job. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, I surrender to you each and every person in this room and myself. We come before you today and we surrender to you our own stubbornness, our own fears, and we surrender to you the confusion that other people have tried to plant around us through the enemy's lies. And we ask you today for a focus like we've never had before, that we can see the prize again clearly. It doesn't have to be a huge prize. Not everybody's called to win the Nobel Peace Prize and take over the planet. But whatever that is, that excellent thing as you call me to, help me to get my focus on that and not everybody else's victories. God, let me focus on the victory that you've called me to. And Father, I speak it today, even as we speak, and I release right now by your Spirit the anointing of clarity, insight, healing, deliverance, all the things that come with being in your perfect light. So today, we make a decision, each and every one of us, to be free from the clutter once again and align ourselves up with the spirit of truth, to dismiss ourselves from trying to please anybody else or anybody else in our own mind or anybody else's expectations in our own mind, even the ones that have been brought to us that don't line up with your perfect will for our lives. We decide today that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are not great because of this world. We are great because you have us in this world. And Father God, we begin to acknowledge and to embrace the difference that we make in the lives of the people that we touch. And we thank you and we bless you for it. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we give you praise. Amen and amen.